The sermon you are about to hear is entitled Citizenship in Heaven by Dr. Curtis Hudson. This sermon was recorded Sunday evening, July 2, 1972, at the Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
I want to speak to you tonight if I can get on off the mountain after that. On citizenship in heaven. And the text is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, where Paul said, our conversation is in heaven. And literally, the word conversation means citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of another country. Peter says almost the same thing when he says we are pilgrims and strangers here. Our home is somewhere else. We're citizens of another country. When I think of that, I think of the story that Dr. Hiles told about flying home one day on a plane and sitting next to a man. They were talking, and he asked the man what he did. The man told him. And finally, the man asked Dr. Hiles, he said, what do you do? And Dr. Hiles says, just on the spur of the moment, he said, I'm an ambassador. And the man looked at him and said, you really mean that? You are an ambassador? And Dr. Hiles said, yes, I am. I'm an ambassador. He looked at him again. He says, you a real live ambassador? And Dr. Hiles said, yes, I'm a real live ambassador. He says, you mean that you represent a foreign country? He said, I mean I represent a foreign country. And he said, could I shake your hand? He said, I've never shaken hands with a real live ambassador. Could I just shake your hand? Dr. Howell says, yes, you can shake my hand. And he shook hands with him. He said, would you tell me something about your country and your king? And Dr. Howell set in to tell him about heaven and about King Jesus. And in just a few minutes, that man was also an ambassador, and two ambassadors were flying along together in an airplane. They were both representatives of a foreign country and a king from another country. And, of course, we're here as citizens of another country. Immediately, when you think of our citizenship being in heaven, you go to the opposite side, and you say, if we're citizens of heaven, then we're aliens in this world. And we are. The songwriter said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And he goes on to say, oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're aliens here if we're citizens of heaven. We're aliens here. Did you ever notice an alien in this country? I was in a restaurant, some time ago, and I noticed, I think we were three people, a man and his wife and maybe a 10 or 11-year-old child. And they were talking in a language that I'd never heard. And it was foreign to me. And I listened. And I said, I wish I knew that language. I'd like to eavesdrop and see what they're talking about. I could imagine everything in the world they were talking about. And they just talked and laughed. They'd say something. And I said, I wonder what that was, you know. And I'd listen. And I looked at them. They looked different. They sounded different. And it was very easily for me to know that they were aliens. I didn't have to ask them. I knew they were aliens. And you can tell one. And I'm saying this. If we're citizens of heaven and we're aliens here, it ought to be just as easy for people to detect us as it was for me to detect that family in that restaurant. But I'm sorry to say that's not always the case. We have to stand up and say, hey, I'm a citizen of the heaven. I'm an alien here. I'm saved. We have to say that. We shouldn't have to say it. Just our talk and conversation and our laughter and the way we look and the way we act, we ought to stand out like sore thumbs here because we're aliens here. We're not supposed to look like the world or dress like the world or smell like the world or act like the world. We're supposed to be aliens because our citizenship is in heaven. Now, if we're aliens here, then that means that the alien must share the inconveniences of the country that he's in. I remember when I first went out of this country, my first trip out was to Haiti, and I remember that so well. And I'm told that Haiti is the poorest country in the world. The per capita income there is $4 a year. I could hardly believe that. That's per individual. It's according to what I read in the World Book Encyclopedia. I don't know where it was right or not, but that's what it said. And it was the poorest country I'd ever been in. Sure, it's the only one I'd ever been in other than this one. And of course, I've been in some very poor spots in this country. We were real poor. I've told you about that, haven't I? We had wall-to-wall floors in our house and running water. You'd take a bucket and run down to the spring and get it and run back with it. But I remember when I first went out of the country, so many inconveniences. They didn't have food. I remember that they'd bring food by in a big basket, and it would be bread. And it wasn't like our bread. You know, our bread is wrapped up. It says Merida on some, Colonial on some, and Miss Sunbeam on the other, and Hillbilly on the other. It's wrapped up, and it's in a store. The store's air-conditioned. It's clean. But they came by with a big basket full of bread. It wasn't wrapped, just in a basket. And they'd set it down and talk to people a while, and the dogs would come up and lick it and smell it. And then they'd pick the basket up and walk on down the street a little further. And I'm not exaggerating, it really happened. And then some old dirty person came out, looked like they hadn't had a bath in weeks. And they'd look at the basket and take up a loaf of bread and mash it and feel of it and put it back and pick up another one. And that's, you know, I lost several pounds while I was there. That was an inconvenience there. Another thing I remember is that about 8 o'clock at night, it got dark then 8 o'clock at night there, I remember that all the power would go off an hour, every night, about the same time. And I asked, why does the power go off every night, same time? And someone told me, he said, well, they do that. You have to pay a power bill, but they cut it off because the power company won't save all the money they can save. And they just shut down about an hour every night. Says it'll happen every night you're here. And it did. It happened every night. That was an inconvenience. That I do not have to share while I'm here. We have lights now at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. As long as you want lights, you've got them. We have clean bread to eat here. We have food to eat here. We have a clean restaurant to eat in here. And I could not find a clean restaurant there. I'd go back in the mountains and back where the native people were. And I just didn't eat anything for several days. And finally, I didn't want them to think that I thought they were not clean, and that's what I was thinking, but I didn't want them to think that. And so I said, I'll tell you, I'm on a fruit diet, and I just had gone on one as soon as I got off the plane. And I said, I'm on a fruit diet, and I'll just eat fruit here. And then they messed that up. They went to peeling my fruit for me and cutting it up and putting it in their little bowls. And then I said, I'm on a fruit diet that's not peeled. I like to eat the peeling and all. But it was so many inconveniences there, I remember it. And I was an alien there, you see. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I was an alien there, and so I had to share in the inconveniences of that country. Now, I'm a citizen of heaven, and so I'm an alien here, and I must share in the inconveniences of this country. Sometimes Christians ask me questions like this, well, if God loves me, why does this happen? Or why does the other happen? Or why are they having war in Vietnam? And why are people being killed? Well, one reason is we're aliens here, and that's one of the inconveniences of this sinful country we're in. Someday the king's coming, and there won't be any more war, and there won't be any more killing, and there'll be peace and prosperity, and there'll be happiness and worldwide according to the Bible. But as long as we're aliens here, we must share in the inconveniences of the country. A lot of things I don't understand. Many things I don't understand. That's one of the inconveniences here. One of the inconveniences here is that we see through a glass darkly. Things are not as clear as we want them to be. We don't always have an answer for every question that everyone asks us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, now we see through a glass darkly. Then shall we see face to face. Now we know in part, then shall we know even also as we're known. So while we are here as aliens, then we must share in the inconveniences of this country while we're here. There are many of them. I won't go over all of them with you tonight, but there are many inconveniences here. A dimmed vision, a lack of understanding about so many things, sins in this country. Satan is the god of this world, and so things are not always run right and just. Jesus is not the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them to whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. Satan is the God of this world. So we're going to have some inconveniences. Don't you wish everybody loved Christians? And when you try to do right, everybody would encourage you and say, man, that's wonderful. I think it's good that you witness and give out Bible tracts. Don't you wish that the folks at the office would walk up to you and sort of put the arm around you and pat you on the shoulder and say, man, I appreciate you telling me about Jesus. Instead of making fun of you and making slurry remarks about your salvation. As one man said to me today, I witnessed to my brother, he said, and he laughed at me. He said, oh, I forgot to give you the sign. He gave him a sign. Supposed to be some Christian religious sign that people are exchanging now. And he did it just to make fun of this fellow's salvation and religion. He thought he was old-fashioned. He thought he'd lost his marbles. He thought he had rooms for rent upstairs. But that's one of the inconveniences here. We're outnumbered here. We're in the minority here. And we're going to have these inconveniences. But we're aliens, and our citizenship is in heaven. Now, second thing. If we're aliens here, then the alien is to seek the good of the country while he's there. While I was in Haiti as an alien, I tried to seek the good of that country the best I could. I tried to help. I would say to this man, there's no need for your family to go hungry. Well, there's a way you can make a living. And I would talk with them, and I would try to show them and help them. And I'd say to this lady, you could do better than that. There's a certain way you could do that better. And I tried to help them as long as I was there till I came back home. And I'm saying while we're in this world as aliens, then we're to seek the good of this country. We're to try to help all we can. We're to try to win men to Christ. We're to try to instruct and help and be a blessing while we're here. Third thing, when you're an alien in a country, then you are to be subject to the authority of that country. Now, I was a citizen of the United States of America, but that did not give me any right to break the laws of the country that I was visiting. If it said stop, that meant that a United States citizen had to stop, just like the Haitian citizen had to stop. I had to be subject to the authorities of the law of that country as long as I was there. Now, some of the laws of that country may have contradicted the laws of this country here, but while I was there, I had to be subject to that law. And I'll tell you this, as a Christian, you are to be subject to all powers because there is no power except it be ordained of God. And they that resist the power resist God. I don't always agree with what our government does. I don't agree with the Supreme Court ruling that came out last week. I don't agree with that. There's a lot of things I don't agree with, but I'm a citizen here. I'll protest, I'll preach against it, but I'm a citizen, and so I'll be subject to the law of this country as long as I'm here. But thank God this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, and I don't have to be subject too long because I think that we're probably moving out before long. I think we'll be going home and we'll be going back to our own country, and we'll get to that after a while. And that's exciting when you think about coming home. I'll never forget that day. I thought I'd never get out of that place alive, and I was so glad to see a plane headed back in this direction. I think I'd have been willing to ride the baggage compartment to get here. I was anxious to come home. We're citizens of heaven, but we're aliens while we're here. The alien then has to share in the inconveniences of the country. The alien then is to seek the good of the country, and the alien then is to be subject to the authority of that country. We're to pay our taxes. We might not agree with the way they spend the tax money, but we're to pay our taxes. A good citizen does that. A good citizen does that. Then if we're aliens, that means that we have some privileges as well as responsibilities. An alien in a foreign country has privileges in that country that a citizen does not have. Did you know that? For instance, an alien in a foreign country cannot be drafted into the service of that country. He cannot be made to fight for that country. He's not a citizen of that country. The citizen can be drafted. He can be made to serve, but the alien cannot be made to serve. All right, we're aliens in this world, and our citizenship is in heaven. Now, Satan may ask us to serve him. He may do his best to get us to serve him. He may offer great rewards for serving him, but he cannot force us to serve him. We cannot be drafted into His service because we're not citizens of this world. I've had people say, oh, but Satan is so strong. I could not help but give in. No, you don't have to give in. He has no right to force you. He has no power over you. He has no authority over you. He cannot force you to serve Him. If you serve Him, you do it willingly, not by force, because you are a citizen of another country. And that's your privilege here. You don't have to give in to Satan. You cannot be drafted into his service. Aren't you glad of that? Now, if you was a citizen of this world, then the God of this world could draft you into his service and he could make you serve. But since you're citizens of heaven, you don't have to serve him. You can say no to him. Another thing, since we're aliens here, we not only have the privilege of not being drafted into service here by the God of this world, who is Satan, but since we're aliens of another country, we cannot enjoy or receive the honors of this country. An alien cannot receive the honors from a particular country because he's not a citizen. For instance, an alien could not be the president of the United States of America. That's an honor. An alien could not be the governor. He'd have to be a citizen. An alien could not have that honor. And there's certain honors that a man cannot have if he's an alien. And what I'm trying to say here is this. We're citizens of heaven and we're aliens in the world. Therefore, we cannot seek the honor of the world. And that's right opposite from what most Christians want. Most of our service is for honor and for glory. The Bible said the Pharisees, they do their good works before men that they may receive praise and honor of men. And he says they have their reward. They get their pat on the back. They get praised and honored. And he says that's their reward. We're not to seek the honor of this country. I've had young people say to me, oh, but if I live a separated life and if I wear those old long dresses and if I look odd and strange, people will think that something's wrong with me. I want to be thought well of by the people. I want to be in the in crowd. Well, you are in the in crowd. It's the other crowd that's out. We're the crowd that's in. We're in Christ, and they're outside of Christ. Now, you shouldn't seek the honor of the world, and yet most of our dress is designed to be accepted by the world. I said something to a young lady recently that I said, your dresses are too short. Oh, she said, not too short. I said, yeah, too short. Well, they're longer than most people, yeah, but they're not long enough. Oh, no. She said, but everybody will think I'm strange. What difference does it make? Are you looking for the honor of this world? You don't qualify for the honors of this world. You're an alien here. You're not to be honored by the world. You're not to seek the honor and praise and glory of this world. You ought to be seeking honor from the country where your citizenship is, not from this country where you're an alien. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God in heaven. Colossians 3:1. We're not only free from being drafted into service, but we're not eligible for the honors of this world. I read a story once of a great Protestant statesman who had been sent a present by the Pope. The Pope sent him a set of silver goblets. And this statesman sent these goblets back, and he wrote this answer to the Pope. He said, the citizens of Zurich compel their judges to swear twice a year that they will receive no presents from foreign princes, therefore take them back. And we ought to have the same attitude. We're not to seek presents from foreign princes and foreign kings. We're not to seek the honors of the world. We're not eligible for them. And when you can get over that and get to the place where you're not seeking that, you're getting to the place where you can be a good Christian then. But as long as that bothers you and worries you and you're concerned about it, and what will Billy think and what will Sue think and what will Bob and Joe think and what will the neighborhood think if I act like this or do like this, as long as you're thinking about that, you'll never be a good citizen of heaven. Seek your honors there. And then something else. As aliens, we must not hoard up this world's treasures. We're not going to be here long. We're not to hoard it up and stack it up and see how much we can bank and put away. But we're to give to God's service. I hesitate not to say that. We ought to give. John Wesley said one time, you ought to make all you can. And then you ought to give all you can. And that's true. I think God has given some men and some women the talent to make money and the ability to make money because He knows they'll do the right thing with it. I think in other cases, He does not give people the talent and the ability to make money because He knows they wouldn't do the right thing with it. I think that money is a real trust from God. It can never be something that possesses you. It must be something that you possess. And I think it's a great man that God can trust with wealth. God knows who He can trust. He probably couldn't trust me with much. Evidently He couldn't. Obviously He couldn't. Because I never had much. He knows if I had too much, I'd probably take it easy and quit preaching or something. And so He said, I got to keep him poor as I can. I don't give him too much. He can't trust me. And He can trust me with a wife and four children, with a congregation of 3,500 people, but He couldn't trust me with that. But He can trust some people with it. He knows they'll do the right thing with it. We must not hoard up money here. We're aliens here. I heard the story of a minister who was going through the city where his ministry was, and he was collecting money to build a chapel, and he called on one businessman, and he said, I'm building a chapel. Would you make a donation? A man gave him $50. And as he went to walk out the door, another fellow met him coming in, and he brought a message to the businessman that a ship had just sunk with some of his merchandise on it, and he had lost $6,000. And so he stopped the preacher and said, wait a minute before you go. He said, come back. He said, I just got a message here that a ship went down and I had $6,000 worth of merchandise on that ship. And he said, it's uninsured. I've just lost $6,000. And so the preacher thought, well, he's going to take his $50 back. But instead he said, give me the check back. And the preacher said, well, I can understand that. If you just lost $6,000, I can understand why you couldn't give the $50. He said, no, that's not it. He said, I'm going to give you another check. And he turned around and wrote him out a check for $1,000 and took the $50 check. And the preacher looked at him a little bit confused, and he said, since my money's going so fast, he said, I'd like to deposit a little of it in the bank of heaven before it's all gone, he said. And I thought that was a good idea. And you know, there's a verse in the Bible where it says, use your money to buy to yourselves friends so that they'll receive you into everlasting habitations. And that literally means use your money to win people to Christ. So that when you die and go to heaven, there'll be people in heaven who will receive you, that your money helped win to Christ. Maybe it's supporting a missionary, supporting a gospel broadcast, or a telecast, or a local soul-winning church, or a bus ministry or something. And there'll be people in heaven who will receive you into everlasting habitations that you've won to Christ through the money you gave. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. So if we're citizens of heaven and we're aliens here, then the alien is not to hoard up this world's goods. But not only are we aliens here, we move now to the positive side of it, we're citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we're under heaven's government. We're under heaven's rule. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a verse that everyone should know by memory. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it literally means seek to allow Christ to be the king of your life. Now, Christ, as Brother Reynolds said a minute ago, does not reign now as king of this world. But there is a sense in which Christ ought to be the king of every believer's life. He ought to be the Lord of our lives. We ought to surrender to Him our complete self and allow Him to have the complete control of our lives. We're to be under heaven's government. Not only that, but if we're citizens of heaven, then we have all the common rights and the property in heaven. We're citizens there. Citizens of the United States of America, they all own the property of the United States of America. There's an advertisement, I think it was on TV, you may remember it, or maybe on the radio, where somebody went to one of the dams and put his name up there and changed it to his name, you know. Another fellow came along and changed it to his name. And they said it belongs to all of us, but we can't name it after all of us. I don't know if you remember seeing that or not. But in reality, the government property, I own it because I'm a taxpayer. I'm a citizen here. You own it. There's a common right. We all own it together. And all the property of heaven, if we're citizens there, we own it. It's ours. It's ours. The river of life, that's ours. It's not somebody else's. It's ours. We're saved. We're citizens of heaven. The tree of life, that's ours. The golden streets in heaven, they're ours. The pearly gates in heaven, they're ours. The jasper walls in heaven, they're ours. All the foundations of the city, garnished with all manner of precious stone, they belong to us. We're the citizens of heaven. And not only that, but as citizens of heaven, we're under the heaven's government. We have the common rights of all the property in heaven. And then thirdly, we enjoy all the delights of heaven as citizens of heaven. Every American rejoiced, I suppose, no matter where he was, if he was in a foreign country, I suppose every American rejoiced when our men first set foot on the moon. I remember that day. Do you remember it? Was it just me? Or did you feel an American done that? Did you feel that way? Were you happy about that? Did you rejoice? I did. I rejoiced that day to be an American. Why? Because I shared in the delights of that. I didn't help build the rocket. I didn't ride the rocket to the moon. It wasn't me who set my foot down on the moon. But I'm a citizen of this country, and this country did that, and I shared in that delight. And we all share in the delights of heaven. When you get to heaven and people are saved, you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice with those back here. Another thing, too. If we're citizens of heaven, then our walk is to be consistent with our citizenship. Are they holy in heaven? I would say they are. Then we ought to be holy here. You say holy? Yeah, holy. That's a good word. That just means clean and right. Holy is a good word. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan called attention to the fact that our word holiness comes from the same word that the word health comes from. It's the Anglo-Saxon word H-A-L-I-G. And what health is to the physical, holiness is to the spiritual. It just means soundness. It means that you're all that God expects you to be at that particular moment. Nothing wrong with the word holy. We ought to be holy. If they're holy in heaven, we ought to be holy here. Are they happy in heaven? Then we ought to be happy here. Are they obedient in heaven? Then we're citizens of heaven. We ought to be obedient here. I would think that everything in heaven obeys God. I think when he said, "Pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I think he was saying by that prayer up in heaven, they do my will. Every time I want something, they do my will, 100% of the time. I wish that you're, I want you to pray that my will be done on earth just like they do my will in heaven. When I say to this angel, go over there, and this angel goes, I want to be able to say to those down on earth, you go over there, and he goes. I want to do my will. Do they obey in heaven? Then we ought to obey here. Are they active in heaven? I think so. I read the other day in the book of Revelation where it says, "And his servants shall serve him day and night forever." I think that'll be one of the joys of heaven, that we'll get to serve Christ forever and ever and ever. And I've never been able to serve him here like I want to. I've never been able to be satisfied with my service, but in heaven I will be satisfied. Are they full of love in heaven? I think they are. We ought to be full of love here. I was studying about love before I came here tonight. I read this afternoon about it. I read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I read the, I suppose, 50, 60 verses dealt with the word love. I read a lot about love today. Love, the Bible said, is one of the three virtues that are mentioned: faith, hope, and charity. And then he says the greatest of these is charity or love. It's greater than faith. It's greater than hope. Why? Because faith someday will be done away with. Hope someday will be done away with. But love, it endureth forever. In heaven, you won't need faith. You'll have sight. In heaven, you won't hope. You'll have the reality. But in heaven, you'll never cease to love. You'll never cease to love. Love is the greatest of all. Faith saves us. Hope cheers us. But love sends us out to get others and win them to Christ. Greatest of all. Are they full of love in heaven? Then if we're citizens of heaven, we ought to be full of love here. Is there sweet communion in heaven? Could you imagine a discord in heaven? I can't. Can you imagine folks fussing in heaven? I can't imagine Paul fussing, and in-laws fussing in heaven, and husband and wife fussing, and holler and sit down and shut up and be quiet. I can't imagine. That just don't fit with heaven, does it? Well, if they're in sweet communion in heaven, we ought to be in sweet communion down here. I thought a minute ago, you'd be surprised what I think sometimes sitting over there. When they started singing that marching song, what was it about the banner? Did you see me? I started doing my hands like this. I wanted to march. If I'd done what I wanted to, I just got up and went. And I'd have marched all up and down the aisles, right? If I'd done what I wanted to. In heaven, I'm going to do what I want to. And some of you a while ago when they were singing the king is coming, you wanted to say amen so bad you could die. I could look at you. Some of you said, and you'd look down, look off, try to keep, you wanted to do something or say something. I think we ought to have that kind of communion down here. We ought to enjoy it. Blessed communion. Sweetest thing in the world is communion with other Christians. I love it. I love Christians. I'm honest with you. I have a father living, and I have two sisters, and I have two brothers, and sister-in-laws, and brother-in-laws, and I have aunts and uncles and cousins with a dozen, and I have all the other. But the folks I love and enjoy being around, I want anybody else to you folks. I want to be with you. I'd rather be here than to be some dead church somewhere. I'd just rather be here. Who wants to go off somewhere and where people don't know you and don't love you? I want to come here where people love me and where we can have sweet communion and fellowship together. I enjoy it. Is there sweet communion in heaven? Then there ought to be sweet communion down here. And when we walk by, people should say, there goes a heavenly citizen. There goes one. Like in that restaurant, that those folks talking jabber, 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 jabber. And I said, they don't belong here. They belong somewhere else. They're sitting somewhere else. And I want it to so be that when people see me, they say, he don't fit here. He's not from here. He's from somewhere else. Because I am from somewhere else. But if you dress like them, and talk like them, and act like them, and go the same places they go and do the same things they do, they'll think you're a citizen here. You won't look any different. And Peter says we are peculiar people. Now, that word peculiar didn't mean we were odd and strange. It meant we were his own chosen possession. He owns us. He bought us. We're citizens of another country. If we're citizens of heaven, then our attention should be in heaven. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. We're to seek things which are above. Our attention ought to be there. I remember something else, and I'll just stay with the Haiti illustration since I'm going with it. But I remember something else in Haiti. You know what really interested me more than anything else? Going to the newsstand and getting a paper from here. And you could get a paper from this country. You get a New York paper. I never did find the Atlanta Journal there. Didn't miss too much, but never found it. But I did find some papers from this country. I remember, though, when I went to Washington, D.C., and that's not a foreign country. Well, sometimes if you're there, you're thinking a foreign country. But I remember I used to work with the FBI there, and I remember being there. I won't tell you what I did. You'll think I was a special agent or something, but I don't tell you what I did. But I remember going down to the newsstand and getting an Atlanta paper. I thought, you know, this is something, Atlanta paper. I'm a hunter at restaurant had grits. Get an Atlanta paper and a bowl of grits, and man, I didn't get so homesick. It wasn't home. I didn't get so homesick as long as I get me some grits and Georgia ice cream. That's grits. And an Atlanta paper. I thought I was at home. I really did. It was tremendous. And you know what? My attention was here. I was thinking about this place. When I was in Haiti, I was thinking about this place. Everything I could see, it reminded me of America. I wanted to see it. I wanted to go get an American paper. I wanted to go to, if they could find a restaurant that took American food, I wanted to go there. And if you're citizens of heaven, you ought to be thinking about things in heaven. You should be interested in things that not get too involved down here. There were some Swiss soldiers many years ago in a foreign country, and there were certain songs that the band was not allowed to play. Because these Swiss soldiers in this foreign country, when the band would play certain songs, they'd ring bells, and the bells reminded the soldiers of the cowbells back home. And when they'd play certain songs where they had to ring the bells, these soldiers could see the cows and the fences and the pastures and the little cottages, and they'd desert. They'd go home. So they just wouldn't allow them to play certain songs that reminded them of the home. You know what? Every once in a while when the choir starts singing something here, it reminds me of home and I want to go. I absolutely want to go. I'm not like the fellow was in the church one night and the preacher said, how many here want to go to heaven? Raise your hand real high. Everybody raised hands except one fellow. He didn't raise his hand. And the pastor saw he didn't raise his hand. He kept looking at him. He said, afraid you misunderstood me. He said, how many here want to go to heaven? Raise your hand real high. This fellow wouldn't raise his hand. And he said, I'm afraid you misunderstood me. Everybody ought to want to go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. This fellow didn't raise his hand. So finally he walked back there to him and said to him, mister, he said, don't you want to go to heaven? Oh, I said, yes, I said, I want to go to heaven. Well, he said, you didn't raise your hand. He said, well, I thought you was getting up a load to go tonight, he said. I want to go, but not tonight. Well, sometimes I want to go tonight. Sometimes I get so homesick for heaven, I just like to take off. When they start singing around here, I get to think about heaven. I'd like to go home sometime. Wesley wrote, oh, that we now might see our God. Oh, that the word were given. Come, Lord of hosts, the waves divide and land us all in heaven. He wanted to go too, didn't he? And sometimes I think about the heavenly home and I want to go. Another thing too, as citizens of heaven, we ought to love to receive communications from the fatherland. When you were away, some of your men were away in service. Did you like to hear from home, from the homeland, did you? How many of you were in service and got letters? Raise your hand. Many of you. Look at that. A lot of you. How many of you are glad when the mail called? How many of you look forward to that every day? Would you raise your hand back up? I thought so. And a little package. Didn't you get all excited when they send a little package and had cookies in it? You like to hear from the fatherland, didn't you? Yeah. Well, we're aliens here. We're citizens of heaven. And don't you like to hear from the fatherland? I do. And the only way you hear from it is open this book up here. The Bible is heaven's newspaper. The Bible's heaven's newspaper. And every once in a while, I want to pick it up and read a little bit. This is God talking. Is it much so as if he stood here on the platform and talked in an audible voice like I'm talking? This is God talking. We're citizens of another country. This world is not our home. We're just passing through.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. For a free catalog, please call 1-800-251-4100. Or you may reach us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.